Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, and miracles, offering ways to understand and refine our human and divine potential. Today I am most delighted to welcome Dr. Mark Mincola, author of The Whole Health Diet. Dr. Mincola is a natural health care practitioner who has integrated ancient Chinese energy techniques with cutting-edge nutritional science, along with his innovative electromagnetic muscle testing system. Hello, Dr. Mincola, and thank you for joining us today.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Mark, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect, my guests and I seek answers to age-old questions about life and death, health, well-being, and ways through our experiences and training to know ourselves and the world and universe in a more open-minded, unlimited passage to truth, well-being, and to discover methods that work to improve our health and expand our level of joy, peace, and happiness. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will seek deep insights into the why of overeating, learn powerful affirmations for simple mindset shifts, learn holistic, clear, and transformational steps to take towards weight loss, and offer delicious recipes to support this process. Mark, I always love to begin each show by asking my guests to think back to their childhood and a memory or event that might have alerted them or others to have an insight into the course their life might take and to the interests and values that serve them in adulthood.
I think the first thing that would come to my mind is at age 3, I underwent surgery for a hernia in my groin. And I was quite frightened about the whole experience. I remember distinctly to this day my mother taking me to the doctors and the entire experience frightening the life out of me. Bigger than I was, of course, more intensive than I was prepared to contend with. And I just remember feeling really frightened about the whole thing. And there I was on the gurney being wheeled in for surgery. And they put the ether mask over my face. And I remember distinctly the entire experience. And the ether mask went over my face. I remember starting to lose my awareness. And for 3 years old, that's not an easy thing to lose.
No.
I remember feeling at the time that I was fighting, I was struggling to stay alive. I thought they were killing me. I mean, literally.
Yes, of course you were. The breath is our connection to life, to our soul life, our energetic life. It's tremendously frightening. I'm sorry you had to experience that. But I have a feeling, since everything in our life is not random, but a means for us to discover more about who we really are as a physical and spiritual being. That was your way, perhaps, to know that someday you would want to know everything you could to help others have greater health, perhaps, and experience things in an easier way. Perhaps that
There's
was
no doubt in my mind that that's absolutely the gospel truth.
Yeah, yeah. So what inspired you to write The Whole Health Diet?
Well, if we circle back to the present tense, you know, I've been a holistic practitioner for 34 years, and I've counseled over 60,000 appointments. And I've worked from the holistic perspective as a problem solver with a variety of illnesses, everything from end-stage cancers to lupus and the common cold and everything in between. And so I decided that so many people that have come to me over the years have come with weight struggles and eating problems. I never really tackled those head on per se, but I said, you know, with knowing the fact that there are 50 million dieters in America every year, spending $40 billion on diets, knowing that 95% of them fail within the first year, somebody's got to do something. So I decided to attempt to plug in my holistic problem-solving thinking cap to these issues as well.
Yeah, I think I read in your book that you said, since we are living in a time of great transformation, this problem with weight is rooted in the disease or discomfort of the human heart, because obesity and being overweight are the clear results of overeating, but the real hunger problem is in the heart. So it is
exactly
in,
right.
Yeah, so it is in the fact, that's why nearly a third of Americans diet, but only 10 to 30% of these people can succeed in losing weight, because perhaps the approach to dieting is flawed. And how so is that?
One of the pieces in the book, one of the sections in the book, I also wrote the words that said addiction, which is, of course, so overwhelming in our lives. And there's so many people that are addicted to sugar, carbohydrates and starches and pleasure foods and chocolates and whatnot. Addiction is the absence of love.
I agree, yes. Everything in life is either moving from pain and discomfort to pleasure and relief, joy. Yeah. So that's true. And when you take this holistic approach, you realize that we're multidimensional beings, and you cannot just count calories or integrate exercise into a program. It's much more than that. So you wrote, in this time of change, what we have learned from Nobel Prize-winning research of Saul Perlmutter, Adam G. Reese, and Brian P. Schmidt is that the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate. Thus, our energy and that around us is vibrating at a higher frequency than ever before, and our spirits are infused with quantum possibilities, and our perceptions of reality are being superconsciously reformed. So, never before have we thought so much, dreamed so much, and felt so much. Now, medicine and healing and diet, all connected, it's all connected, has to take a new look at how they work. We can't just work with surgery and pills. So what do you say about that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the time has come. I always point to the polar shift of December 2012. There's been a total, according to geophysicists, 37 polar shifts in the last 2 million years. So whenever they happen, you know, things are changing, things are shifting dramatically. Of course, our ancestors never had the sophistication to really analyze the effects of the polar shifts, obviously, that we do today. So I think that a lot of what we're experiencing are really one in a million experiences. I think the polar shift for us in our lifetime right now is representative of dramatic shifting and changing. And I think the more energetically tuned in we get, the more energy and literate we get, I think the better we'll be, not just for medicine, but in our day-to-day lives as well. Personally, every aspect of our life needs to be clarified as energetically based.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So why can't a dieter rely on calories, just restricting calories, to lose weight long-term? What do they have to start relying on?
Well, two things that we just spoke about recently. Number one, human beings, as you clearly pointed out, it's so true, are such multidimensional beings. Number two, we also point out that everything is energy. So when you think about energy and the multidimensionalism of our present-day reality, things are changing swiftly, they're changing dramatically, they're changing intensively. And I think that we have greater awareness, greater consciousness, we're thinking more thoughts, we're thinking more analytical thoughts. We're capable of contending with more analytical thoughts. Things are not the same as they used to be. So I think from those perspectives, human beings need to start thinking of themselves as highly energized beings that have some dramatic challenges and shifting that's taking place in their lives. And many folks, of course, resort to the old school. They step back into the Wayback Machine and they start to rely upon old comforting means. Food is a means of comfort for so many people. So many intensity of change, in divorce, in lifestyle shifting, awareness shifting, job shifting, et cetera, pile up on them. They tend to resort back to comforting themselves with foods and beverages.
Yes, you know.
Not unusual.
Yeah, you said in the book that emotions can sabotage weight loss, and you mentioned that Lisa Firestone said in Psychology Today, as children, we all experience varying degrees of emotional pain. The love and care and nurturing we get from our caretakers lead us to form a positive sense of self and help us to create our identity. Yet, no parent or person is perfect, and even the best parents are only attuned to their child's needs about 30% of the time. So often the fear, shame, and apathy we experience as children trigger distorted perceptions and dysfunctional overcompensating patterns that are hard to recognize. Now, in many shows, this thought comes up, and it was in your book. And for those parents listening out there, it is more important that you worry about how you bolster up your children's self-esteem and allow them to be themselves without putting in so many of your own thoughts and goals and desires, because they come pre-programmed into this world with their own soul destiny.
Sure, sure they do.
And they know their way, so we hurt them by doing this. And sometimes, many times, I guess it leads to eating disorders. Yeah. So that's
Well, I think, you know, the other part of that is virtually everybody wants to be fit and healthy and well, but you can't really assume a mantle of wellness unless you accept and embrace the notion of wholeness. And you can't have wholeness unless you engage in self-love.
Absolutely.
So to me, the core of wellness and health and healing and even fitness is self-love.
And that's,
you can't escape that. And I think the way, as you point out so eloquently, the manner in which we raise our children has everything to do with how we end up as adults. And I think the most important aspect of inculcation, if you will, is to raise a child with the consciousness of self, with what I call self, the healthy aspect of self-consciousness. Amazing how we've taken the term self-consciousness, made it a negative context.
That's true.
I think the idea is we want to raise our children.
We want them to have higher consciousness and to be aware of who they are and how they fit into the world and the universe, and how, if they follow their own instincts and intuition, they will be whole and they will enjoy life, both spiritually and on a physical level. Excellent. I didn't think of that before. Yes.
Self-conscious.
Is the opposite of to be conscious, aware, and functioning and aligned to your full energy and potential as a soul and human being. How beautifully said. That was wonderful. But let's go back to something a little more practical. How might one turn off their fat genes? Because we need techniques. We need to know a little bit more of what we should start to do. And you gave the 6 keys to resetting metabolism. If you like, I have it here, or you might want to just say what you think people should do to start to turn off their fat genes.
But before we go there, I wanted to kind of interject one specific area that I think is pretty important. Dr. Kerry Morwich did some interesting research that I mentioned in the book. 300 subjects were in this particular study. They actually found that by telling these folks to close their eyes for 20 minutes a day to imagine that they're eating a heavy caloric food like potatoes and butter or pasta or whatever, you know, bananas, any highly starchy carby foods, to literally imagine it, just to visualize in their mind with their eyes closed. They're over-consuming these starchy, feel-good foods. Over a period of 16 weeks, they found that they actually consumed 56% fewer calories.
You know
so
why?
We can actually...
Yeah, because you also wrote in the book that you can think yourself into health and into losing weight. And I believe that
there's a part of the brain
are very powerful, very, they're energy, and they're powerful, and they create our destiny and our path forward. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, well, there's a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate cortex. It's been studied for many, many years. They initially did studies at Harvard studying pianists who were not really trained musicians. They had trained musicians versus untrained musicians, playing the piano in their mind versus really playing. So the really highly skilled, highly trained musicians actually played the piano. They measured their brain waves. They had a group of people who are not trained musicians who imagine themselves playing the same piano exercise. He stimulated the exact same centers of the brain. That center of the brain is called the anterior cingulate cortex. So whether we're imagining something or actually doing it, the neurological wiring is exactly the same.
Oh, that's interesting, because when I listen to music, I don't play an instrument, but I sort of can feel every note going through and be very absorbed into the whole flow of it.
And neurologically, there's no difference between Beethoven and you.
Well, maybe in the next life I'll get to play a musical instrument, because it would be fun, I think. And let's go on to how might people get control of their emotional eating, because we just described that sometimes their heart hurts, they're not following their true life path, they're being involved in other people's expectations for them, and that does put a burden on the soul and the heart. So how can people start to get control of their emotional
I both write about and coach my patients into an understanding that emotion, like everything else, is purely energy. Everything is energy. Emotion is energy. I say that how many parts of emotion do you take in versus how many parts of emotion do you release? Think of parts 1 to 10. So if somebody says, you know, my average day, I am working with my family, my kids are struggling with school, my marriage is tough to keep together, my job is tough to keep together, I'm tough job keeping enough money in the bank to pay the bills and the mortgage and all that stuff. The amount of energy that I take in emotionally is clearly 10 out of 10. How much do you release? One or two. The average patient says two or three. So say imagine a balloon that you're taking three breaths in, letting one or two breaths out. What's going to happen is eventually that balloon is going to pop. So you need to visually think of emotion as purely energetic. It's nothing but energy. You need to demystify emotion and treat it as energy that needs to be released as well as consumed. So the objective is to take time to literally grieve your emotions out, talk your emotions out, express your emotions out, hit the punching bags, the pillows, let the tears come out, let them be loud tears, let them be energetically engaged. Make sure that you're conscious of the fact that you're releasing energy from your emotion. That's the key. To demystify emotion, treat it as energy, and release as much as you take in.
Yes, and you also wrote this. I'm a Reiki energy practitioner and master teacher, and you wrote this, and I would like our listeners to hear this in accordance with what you just said. Our world is just now beginning to embrace healing energy applications, once common only to Eastern culture. Growing numbers of us are turning to acupuncture, acupressure, Reiki, and Qigong for healing and weight loss. The centuries-old effectiveness of these healing arts emphasizes the vital importance of unseen life force energy. Life force energy refers to the imperceptible vital essence that embodies all living things, the current of life, and the essence of vitality within all cells, tissues, organs, and organisms. Holistic health equals balanced metabolism, which results in ideal weight. So yes, energy treatments, getting an understanding of who you are, finding ways to release the buildup of blockages and negativity that may have started in childhood, in thoughts that were imprinted on you as early as that, or even before being born perhaps, maybe you brought some of it in with your soul essence. So I love that you wrote that. Because, again, it's a holistic approach to everything we need to understand about who we are and what life is about and how we can function at our optimum best by taking advantage of these practices, which Western medicine is beginning to accept, but it has been slow to being merged into the general practices of most people. So you go on to talk about to the life force energy Qigong and energy medicine. And you say that this energy animates life and binds the cosmos. And it eludes the five human senses, but it's a power. It remains ever available to anyone with enough extrasensory perception, conscious intent, and discipline to master the art of directing. So this is actually a sixth sense. And you mentioned that there are countries that are beginning to help children or young adults develop some of this. So what would you say about extrasensory perception, sixth sense, and our abilities to go beyond you know, the five senses?
Well, number one, as you again pointed out earlier, we're multidimensional beings. And when I wrote these things as a practitioner, I decided that it was really sacred to revere and to respect and to honor the dimensional capacity of every human being. And there's nothing greater, nothing more powerful that a practitioner can do than to hand a patient a mirror so they can see into their true, deeper nature, and they can actually engage at levels of consciousness and awareness to embrace their health factors, to improve their health factors, and to improve their life quality by literally taking the time to expand their principles, their properties, their capabilities at deeper, deeper levels. And I think that the most powerful part of these books is the part that acknowledges, affirms, and honors and respects the unlimited depths of the patient. And again, I think the key here is not for the patient to become dependent upon a doctor, but for a true physician to impart the wisdom of holism to the patient so the patient can become the true expert of their well-being, master of their fate.
Independent, not dependent. Yes, I agree with you. A true healer and a practitioner helps a client or patient, however we want to look at it, to become aware of their own magnificence and ability to create their own life with joy and positivity and health and
super conscious choice.
Yes.
The idea that your options are to be unconsciously negative or consciously positive or super consciously creative and manifest.
Right, and following certain dietary laws for one person will not necessarily work for another, because we're all so unique and our bodies receive energy and foods in a very special way. But you do say that inflammation is the root cause of most diseases, and which foods are inflammatory by nature? Can you tell us something about that?
Sure. Well,
briefly.
At the physiological, I mean, the metabolic level, disease, as we know it, is genetic. It's genetically rooted. The day we're born, we all have a genetic map called the genome. And on that genetic map, there's a series of constellations of possibilities and probabilities for heart disease, cancer, lupus, and on and on and on. Everybody has that genetic, that hereditary kind of mapping. So the key is to understand that those genetic possibilities for disease cannot express themselves. They can't trigger themselves. They need help. So the map is basically requiring of something like inflammatory chemistry to trigger that. So I think, you know, 72% of all disease is genetically triggered by inflammatory chemistry. And again, food produces the inflammatory chemistry that starts this whole ball rolling. So things like too many peanuts, peanut butter, red meats, dairy products, egg yolks, not egg whites, but egg yolks, sugar, starch, a lot of fermented foods like vinegar, miso, tempeh, tamari, soy sauce, etc. These are representative foods that produce inflammatory chemistry that trigger that genetic map to express those diseases. That's
right.
The key.
And also our emotional life, our stresses, our fears, and our relationships in alignment with wrong diet, not enough sleep, will also trigger things. So we want to come to a level of peace, relaxation, knowing ourselves better, and appreciating ourselves for who we are, and finding that it's not so important whether you're the President of the United States or you sweep the floor. You have the power to create a good and healthy life. If readers made just one change, Mark, after reading your book, what would you want it to be?
To open up the door to your soul. I always say that if you go deep enough into your heart, the back door of the soul arrives at the front door. The back door of the heart arrives at the front door of the soul. So to go deeper within your own heart, and to move through your heart into your soul, into such a way that you actually really appreciate and love and embrace your full complete potential as a living being, which is infinitely greater than most of us are aware of, so to fully realize your greatness.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And Rumi said something along those lines. If we go past right or wrong and find ourselves, we will find ourselves in a field. And I'll meet you there. I always thought that was so nice. So
beautiful.
Yeah. I want to thank you, Dr. Mark Minkola, author of The Whole Health Diet, for sharing your unique transformational approach to weight loss and ways to develop a mindset that aligns to energy techniques and universal wisdom. For more information and to purchase the book, go to markminkola.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, it immediately becomes clear that we are the sum total of our thoughts and actions, and what we wish to establish and make real in our daily physical life often begins with an awareness of our thoughts and our viewpoints from our childhood programming, and also on continuing to cling to the belief that life begins at the level of matter. However, as Dr. Minkola suggests, matter doesn't exist. Everything is energy, and thoughts and feelings are energy, as are the foods we eat. More and more, we'll begin to see the new age of healthcare will be about the exploration of the vital life force and the extrasensory potential of human energy. By working towards realizing our true potential, we will find acceptance for ourselves and others and set up a state of internal comfort, which will allow us to live a more holistic and balanced lifestyle. In reference to these thoughts, Dr. Minkola wrote, "It is one thing to believe in miracles. It's another thing altogether to be believing miracles in your wake. During this time of shifting consciousness, increasing numbers among us are routinely performing miracles. In order for us to tap into our miracle manifesting potential, we must come to understand the vivifying power of belief. Belief activates both passive and active aspects of our nature. Most of us remain stuck in old passive belief programming, daring not to believe because of disappointment or skepticism. But by letting go of these diminishing forces, we activate a level of faith that unleashes the supernatural energy that engages our manifest power. Mark, I would have you access the force of your own creativity and personal power in regard to any changes you wish to bring about in your own daily life that will make you healthier and more positive, and ultimately ensure that the best within you is brought out into the physical world. That is the way of the future for individuals and for world success. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to the worldwide leaders and authors who explore the world of possibilities and energy in order to create a prosperous, healthy life journey. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.